Thanks for downloading this IMSA Radio podcast. It's for personal use only and must not be broadcast, reproduced, or used in any form without permission.
Tell your friends they can get their own copy by visiting IMSAradio.com or search for IMSA Radio wherever they get their podcasts.
The eBay Mitsu Mazda MX-5 Cup, presented by BF Goodrich on IMSA Radio.
Action of this morning here at Mid-Ohio, and perfect conditions for the second of two rounds of the Idemitsu Mazda MX-5 Cup for 2021. Hello everybody, my name's John Heindorf, and in a moment or two I'll be joined here in our IMSA Broadcast Centre by Shea Adam, taking a break from patrolling the pits and paddocks of the world. We're at Mid-Ohio Sports Car Course, just outside Lexington, Ohio. 13 corners, just over 2.25 miles. Action areas, well, up the hill towards the keyhole, 180 degree left-hander. You go up into it, down out of it, and down all the way down towards the big gravel trap, China Beach at turn four, difficult downhill braking area, but a big opportunity to make up some positions. Then up and over the top of Madness and through the S's into the exceedingly quick turn nine and along Thunder Valley before you head back towards the carousel, turn 12. Not really a passing point there unless you are right up alongside your competitor. Well, we've had some competition already this morning as the cars are about to roll out on their formation lap. Let's take a look at what happened in race one. Michael Carter led them to the green flag, which is on that run down to turn four, a unique feature here at Mid-Ohio. And then Hernan Pinero and Zach got together with a little bit of damage to the side mirror, but Hernan leaned out and put it right. Problem for Michael Carter, and he dropped back down through the field, which left Sam Paley in the black number 28. In the 87, the Jigsaw Autism Speaks car of Celine Roland to have a cracking scrap, passing and repassing for the lead. It culminated in a round the berm on the outside pass at the keyhole by the Hixon Motorsport driver, and Celine Roland takes another race one victory for the weekend and does his championship hopes no harm at all. Fantastic action as ever in that first 45-minute contest. Shea Adam is with me. We barely took a breath in that race yesterday, and round about the same time of the day, late morning, coming up to what, quarter to noon here, 15 minutes before at noon here at Mid-Ohio Sports Car Course, we get to do it all again in what are nigh on perfect conditions.
Yeah, yesterday's race was fast, it was frenetic, and it was fun. And today, almost the same conditions means that people have learned a lot about their race cars, particularly Gresham Wagner comes into this race second in the championship hunt. He said that they missed the setup yesterday, so they've made some changes. And given that the conditions are nearly identical, he feels that they'll have a much better race car today.
Talked to Celine Roland after his race yesterday. He wasn't going to tell us whether they felt they needed to do anything, but it looked like he had a pretty good car, and we never really got to the bottom of the problem for the 08 of Michael Carter.
It was a fuel pressure issue. I did get that information this morning.
And that is something that it sounded like they knew what it might have been. I'll tell you what, let's have a quick look at the grid as they come round. The clock will start as they go across the line, but that gives us a quarter of a lap before we go green. So here's how they line up for race number 8. On the season. It is Gresham Wagner on pole position, second place in the championships, 220 points away from the man who is at the top of the charts with whom he shares the first row, Michael Carter. 5 and 08 on the front row. Row 2, 28, Sam Paley from Celine Roland, just picking off where they left off yesterday. Then 89, Justin Piscatel from McCombie McAleer Racing, and Jared Thomas in the new livery, number 96, with the green livery on that rather than it's normally all silver. Chris Nunes came into the weekend as the rookie leader, but he's lost that now to Sam Pearley, but he will start on position 7 on the inside of row 4. Daniel Williams in the 38 Copeland Motorsport car is on his outside. Then it's Juan Hernandez in the 59, the white with blue striped Team Guatemala Racing team. And making up the top 10 is Jensen Altman in the number 13 for Macumbi McAleer Racing. The clock has started as they head down towards the green flag. We're effectively under full course yellow at the moment, and heading to the green flag with Gresham Wagner waiting for the call. The flag is being waved. We are underway. They pick up speed very quickly down the hill, and Wagner then in the Spark Performance number 5, the red, white and black car to the inside of the corner, driver's right, but that becomes the outside over the top of the brow, and that's the opportunity for Michael Carter. He's hung on the inside there, and he goes through, and Celine Roland is there, so is Sam Pearley in the black number 28. Here comes that green Jared Thomas car, green and grey, as he is trying to push his way through. Justin Piscitell pushed back there in the blue car with the yellow wheels, but now tries to make up a position as he dives through, and Roland lost out massively there, coming down the hill through 6. Onto Thunder Valley for the first time. Celine Roland is struggling. He's off the racing line. Now, has he got the problem? He's certainly not up to racing speed. Team Guatemala in there as well. And Gresham Wagner's dropped back. So the two of the leading lights have had a real issue at the start and have not got up to speed as they came round the first half a lap across the line to finish lap number 1. Half of it, or quarter of it at least, only under the yellow, of course. And it is Michael Carter for the Carter Racing Enterprise Mazda MX-5 team by a second and change from Sam Pearley. Then Jared Thomas in the green and grey car. Justin Piscitell up into fourth position now, ahead of Dan Williams. Chris Nunes had a decent start in the 32. That's another JTR Motorsport Engineering machine. So a terrible start for a couple of the front-running drivers in the championship, with Gresham Wagner dropping back. Was there a problem for that car? Shea Adam, what did you see?
There has to have been a problem for both he and Celine Roland. They both got hung out around turn 9. That's really where they started to lose momentum, but running down in 12th and 13th. For the guys coming into this race second and third in the championship, that is a terrible start for them. This series is so competitive, it's going to be nigh on impossible for them to make up those positions.
Well, you say that. We've seen all kinds of weird and wonderful things this season already in the opening three events. It's our fourth event on the season and our second race of the weekend. You always think the drivers perhaps been a little bit circumspect in the first race of the weekend because they want to get to race 2, but there's a decent gap between this and the next round. So already there was an issue, and right in front of Juan Hernandez, the number 13 of Jensen Altman went off at turn 9 on the first lap. That's why he dropped back. But what happened to Celine Roland, front row starter, second row starter, excuse me, and Gresham Wagner, who started at the front of the field? Looked like he got a decent enough start. It all started happening around about turn 6 and 7 up through the S's, but there was so much going on. I just looked up and saw that red, white and black car now battling way down the field and outside the top 10 in 11th position. And there's another car going slowly, and that's Piscitell, isn't it, with the yellow wheels? I think it is. Piscitell with the yellow wheels now going very slowly down towards turn 4. And a touch and a spin. And that, I think, was the Slipstream Performance car. The number 36, Dominic Staab, has gone around the 13. It's Drake Kemper that's involved in that as well. And it's Jensen Altman. I'll get it right in a moment. Excuse me. Jensen Altman, who was spun around. That's going to bring out the full course caution. Here's the opportunity for a number of drivers to get back up there, but not for Aaron Johnson, who's got damage. The Hixon car that was in there was the number 92 of Lonnie Unser, and it was Jensen Altman in the 13 involved. That looked like a little tap from behind on Jensen's car, as the car was already light at the top of the hill at turn six. Didn't know where to look there. There was so much going on. But this could be redemption for those who had the bad start. Jensen got around the bright yellow car that he was racing at the time. Now,
was that Palermo?
Yes, it would have been Palermo in the 20, I think, and then spun back onto the track to pick up Johnson, and Lonnie Unser came over the brow unsighted. Absolutely nothing either of those drivers could do. Johnson first of all. Piscatel just missed the incident, but I wonder if he just... Well, he was already going slow, wasn't he, before all of that? Somehow, Johnson's got the car back to the pit lane. Jensen is out of the car, which is good news for him. And I know his mum and dad will be around. Good spot. So who was that? So that was Wagner sneaking through before the carnage ensued in the number five car. So that'll tell you it was just outside the top 10. And, well, I think we might see that being investigated, because there was definitely a little touch on the left rear quarter panel.
Yep.
As it was, I tell you, it's another a great bit of avoidance as well by a number of drivers behind. So it was all kicked off by the slipstream bright yellow number 20, who just tapped the left rear quarter. It was actually a bit earlier in the corner. I thought it was more towards the top of the hill, given where the incident was. Aaron Johnson coming side by side. Lonnie Unser, heavy impact for that Hixon Motorsport car. But a couple of big names getting through there, including Justin Piscatel, but he was going slowly anyway. And I think he'd already had a problem because he'd been good slowly down the back straight. So it was that another power delivery issue for Piscatel. Well, the good news is everybody's all right. The EMR safety crew are there. As ever, we'll pay tribute to all of our volunteers, whatever they're doing at the track. If you're a flag marshal, corner worker, of course, our medical staff and all the volunteer officials, thank you very much indeed. We always say about our EMR safety teams and medical staff, we'd rather you had a very boring and quiet weekend. And now another part of the racing family, track services and recovery, are going to have to do quite a bit of work to clear that up, because there's a couple of Mazdas there, shit, that are displaying racing parts that we would normally see and have lost some vital fluids at that incident spot.
For sure. And, you know, how they say when it rains, it pours. Well, for Lonnie Unser, that's her third DNF of the season, but she's been doing so well in the last few races. As a matter of fact, the last race weekend at St. Petersburg, she became the first woman in MX5 history to finish inside the top 10 in two consecutive races on the same weekend. Aaron Johnson, well, last time out was a bad weekend for him. He had a bad crash in practice that resulted in him needing a backup car, a secondary car, DNF in the second race when that car had a mild conflagration. I say mild lightly. And then Jensen Altman. This is his third DNF this season as well. So for these three drivers, just luck has not been on their side so far this year.
Yeah, and in fairness for Jensen Altman, two of those, this one and the one at Sebring, were absolutely not within his power to affect. He was clobbered by Luca Mars, was it?
Yes.
Who was coming back on the track from turn one at high speed, and that took him off. And there, that was definitely a touch by Hernan Palermo in the slipstream performance at number 20. He was the driver who had the forethought to reach across and put his side mirror right after side-by-side contact with Zach Lee in race one yesterday. It was the barest of touches, and we are not in for a moment suggesting there was any intent there from Herman. But you don't need much here when these cars are loaded up. They're on the ragged edge of grip. It was a good pass by Jensen Altman, and he's deciding to stay ahead. Oh, it was the barest of touches. And if he'd spun to the outside and on the grass, he'd have been all right. But he keeps the lock on and rolls back. Sorry for Aaron Johnson. And that's a big hit from Lonnie Unser. The car getting airborne for a second dash here.
Yeah, it was a very big hit from Unser. You know, Altman had the pass made. It was one of those things. It's a racing incident. I'm sure race control will be looking into that. But there is a lot of debris around the circuit as well as a result of this crash that our track services are going to need to clean up. But unfortunately, it's already claimed one car. Alex Pechura, I'm hearing, in the 33 Slipstream Performance, the Houston-based driver, he is out with a punctured radiator.
Right. So he picked up something as he either had to dive onto the grass or went through. That's the 33 Slipstream car that Shea was talking about there. In the pit, Johnson has gone back out. What testament, by the way, to the build quality, and thank you to the FLIS organisation who put all of the racing parts on these Mazda MX-5. They come in from China as a standard street car and then are basically taken apart and put back together again. The only part they don't touch is the engine, the four-cylinder, 2-litre, 180 horsepower or thereabouts. That car, that engine is sealed. And pretty much everything else, including the Multimatic DSSV suspension, very sophisticated suspension. And this is the most cost-effective car that you can buy with that suspension system on it. Plus, of course, the FIA safety cage, fire suppression systems, etc., racing seat as well. There's even a special steering wheel, and all of that is engineered into the car. Did look as though the number 20 of Hernan Palermo had got away without. I mean, such a he's losing a little bit of his wrap on the front of that car to make the black come through, but I don't think any of that was from what happened with Jensen. And there's I can barely see a scratch. There's a tiny, tiny little scratch on the front, the leading edge of the front fender, the front wheel arch, actually, as he got through the schmozzle and ended up in sixth position. Check that, seventh position for Hernan Palermo. Gresham Wagner has recovered up to eighth, picking his way through the carnage. But the Hixon Motorsport number 87 still well down. Salim Rolland, after a great first race, will restart in 14th share.
Yeah, and you know, the caution is good news for Rolland because it means that the cars ahead of him are all bunched up together. So if you're going to have an opportunity to pick people off, you do want it while there's no space in between said people. But unfortunately, there's a lot of really competitive cars all around him, including Justin Piscitel, the car right ahead of him.
Yeah.
But how about Sam Paley? When did he get to the lead just before the caution came out? That was an impressive move.
I think we were watching everything that was going on behind. So Aaron Johnson has come back out. They've pulled off some of the front bodywork, so it's not fouling anything. He's a couple of laps off the lead. And so a lot of people with 30 minutes to go might be thinking, what's the point of that? Well, Shea's going to tell us.
There is a rookie championship to play for, and if you are the rookie of the year at the end of the year, you get an $80,000 check from Mazda, so you kind of want to be in the running for that. And Johnson is hoping that perhaps some of his rookie competition doesn't have as good luck and they fall back a little bit so that he can get back into the running. Unfortunately, the guy leading the rookie points, as far as Johnson was concerned, unfortunately, is Sam Paley, race leader. He has 2,150 points after yesterday's second place performance. He leads Chris Nunes, who has 2,080 points. And then back in third place is now Luca Mars on 2,020 points. Jansom has 1,990. So he's got a little bit of work to do to try and catch back up and be in the running for that rookie prize. But he's hoping that maybe those three guys in the championship ahead of him, maybe they'll have a little bit less luck and he'll be able to claw back a position or two.
Sam, that's the rookie point. Sam Paley actually sits in fourth at the moment in the overall championship with 1,670 as we came into this race. Céline Rolland at third with 1,960. Gresham Wagner second with 2,080. And on 2,200 even is Michael Carter. So at the moment with his two closest competitors not scoring too well, sitting in second, Michael Carter, he's not looking too bad for the championships. But what we know about Michael, what we know about Jared Thomas behind him, and Chris Nunes, by the way, high up in the rookie points as well, as you've heard Shea just mention, all of those guys will be looking to improve their position. Now, if it comes down to the last 5 minutes or so, and Michael's having to make a decision about going for the win or sticking in second, well, Sam Paley is some 600 points behind him, or just under that at the moment. I think that might come into his thinking, and his team will certainly be on the radio talking to him about that. Now, we started on the back straight down towards turn four. The lights on the MX5 safety car are out. We will restart on the pit straight. That's the restart point in single file. And by the way, whilst Shea was talking about the rookie award of $80,000, that's part of well over $550,000 of real cash money that will be being handed out at the end of the season at Michelin Raceway Road Atlanta. And $250,000 of that will go to the series champion. So,
but you get money all the way down to 10th place
in the championship,
so
yes.
Every point is valuable.
Yeah, and that's smart pickup on why Aaron Jansson's come back out again in that Provision Motorsport number 24 car. Coming back to the green flag with just under half an hour to go after a multi-car incident, we're ready to go racing again. Round eight of the Idemitsu Mazda MX-5 Cup presented by BF Goodrich Tyres is back under green, and Sam Paley in the 28 gets a really good restart for McCombie McAleer Racing. Michael Carter then, championship point leader, sitting in second, and he's under pressure from Jared Thomas. I promise you, Thomas's car is there. You can see the bright green door mirrors, but that's about all. Sitting in third. Then it's Chris Nunes in the metallic red and white car, side by side for Wagner and Palermo. But again, Wagner's had a problem, and that car's losing power down the hill. And another one that's got an issue. It's the 28. That's Sam Paley. That was our leader. Another car coming out of the keyhole that just lost power. And that then has left Michael Carter in the red, white and black car in the lead. Extraordinary stuff. We saw this yesterday with Carter's car at the same point on the track, Shea.
And yesterday it was a fuel pressure issue for Carter. The car almost giving out just unintentionally. The team said that they thought they got it fixed, so hopefully it holds up for our current leader. But John, we do have a penalty from race control. Hernan Palermo, the llama farmer, has been given responsibility for that incident and blocking with Jensen Altman. So it is a drive-through penalty for the yellow MX-5.
So expect to see the car in seventh at the moment for slipstream. Dive into the pits, has just done so. In fact, drive through, get it down to the pit lane speed limit and head through the pit lane. That yellow car with the black racing stripes now in the pit lane. So as they go across the line, well, that wasn't Carter's car that was slowed down at the front of the field. That was yesterday, but the same fate has befallen today's leader, the 28 of Sam Paley. Extraordinary stuff. And the man who lost positions yesterday and dropped out of the lead to the bottom of the top five, this time gets the advantage of misfortune from one of his competitors. How about Jared Thomas in second place for JTR Motorsport Engineering, leading his JTR teammate Chris Noones in the dark soul red metallic car in third place with the white stripe. So what happened to Sam Pitt? It was exactly carbon copy as it was yesterday, but it was Michael Carter yesterday that couldn't get out of the keyhole. And in fact, he stopped so much that he got a little tap from behind by... it must have been Céline Roland, wasn't it? Yeah.
Yeah.
But at least Michael knew what was happening in front of him because it happened to him yesterday. It was a masterful piece of avoidance.
It really was. And John, you talked about that car in second place. You said Jared Thomas's car. Well, people who know Jared Thomas know that that's not the way his car normally looks. He had a big crash in the second practice session on Friday, resulting in his car basically being undrivable. Well, his team, JTR Motorsport Engineering, they went to Copeland Motorsport, another team in the paddock, rented one of Peter Atwater's spare cars, and that is the machine that he drove yesterday up to the fifth position, currently sitting in second, and looking pretty to stick his nose in there and go for the win today. What a story for Jared Thomas.
Yeah, that is the Copeland Motorsport colourway, all different cars, much like the grey and bright yellow number 38 of Daniel Williams, who's having a cracking battle at the moment with the team Guatemala racing driver Juan Hernandez in the white with blue stripes car. They're side by side, following him through there as well. I can see, well, Drake Kemp is in the blue number 99. That'll be the number 41 of Luke Lamar. So they're all battling for position from sixth on down. Four Mazdas into a space where really you should be trying to fit four MX-5s, but they've managed to get it done through turn five. Great drive back by Gresham Wagner, by the way. Remember, went outside the top 10, I think down to 14th at one position. Now he's only two at one stage. Now he's only 2 seconds away from the leader and sits in fourth position. And the battle is on for the lead with that repurposed Copeland car in second position at the moment. For JTR Motorsports Engineering, great camaraderie in this paddock. Yes, they'll race you within an inch of your life on the track, but they want to see you out there, and if they can help, help will be given. Not the first time we've seen, in inverted commas, competitor teams actually helping each other up in the paddock. Once again, we've got four-way flashes going. This time it's the... fourth place Gresham Wagner Spark Performance car. We saw that yesterday as well. Luke Mars drops back a couple of positions. Not sure where the four-way flasher button is, but clearly it's easy to catch it when you're all arms and elbows in these machines. Drake Kemper with the yellow roll cage on the bright metallic blue Mazda, in behind Luke Mars, which is the white and orange and black car. Similar design, but the yellow and black car is going to be overtaken here, and that is the number 38 losing more positions for Dan Williams for Copeland Motorsports. Sometimes it's better not to fight and lose extra positions. He's only lost one at the moment, but Kemper's right there. Leaders all together, top four coming round to drop over the hill at turn nine and into Thunder Valley. One, two, three Mazdas across the track and right down the middle. Chris Noones is doing a bit of bump drafting to push the car in front to the lead. And that's Jared Thomas, who now leads in that rented car. Hope he played the collision damage waiver before he drove it off the lot. And he will lead the end of this lap. Thomas then for JTR leads Gresham Wagner, who's back to second shit.
Carter's back to eighth, John. He did not get out of turn nine properly. That's why they were able to go three wide. But yes, Jared Thomas leading at his favorite track. Gresham Wagner now behind him instead of his teammate, Chris Noones. That's going to make him a little bit nervous. I wonder what's going on with Wagner, though, as he tries to make the pass back up to seventh. That was another strange moment for the 08.
Yeah, saw that with him yesterday as well. But at the moment, everybody up to speed, diving down through the kink at three. coming up to 20 minutes to go. So plenty of action still to go here. About a minute and 40 seconds for each lap. Here's the pass for the lead. Down towards China Beach, down the inside. Classic overtaking manoeuvre here at Mid-Ohio. Now up and over the top at turn five. And back to the lead, Gresham Wagner. Back to the front. It's taken him, 25 minutes or so to get back to the front of the field. Carter comes out at nine and stays to the driver's left last time around because, Shea, you're absolutely right. I thought everybody had just got a decent drag on him, but he just did not have the ponies. And I think everybody down to probably Dan Williams got by him. Yeah. So, very good pass by Gresham Wagner, who has reclaimed the lead from the green, mostly green, number 96. That's JTR. Chris Nunes is his JTR teammate in third position. Oh, a little mistake by the leader coming through turn one. That's going to cost him a couple of places. Tiny little margins. Took, I don't know what, a couple of miles an hour too many through turn one. Dropped the BF Goodriches on the right side of his MX-5 onto the dirt. And the two JTR cars have gone through. Juan Hernandez now up into fourth position in the white with blue racing stripes car. And then in behind him, a recovering Luca Mars. Then Drake Kempers up to sixth now. It seems like no time at all. I was talking about him avoiding the accident that was outside the top 10 that slowed things down and brought out the safety car earlier on. That's the very light metallic blue car with the yellow roll hoop. Oh, big slide right on the exit of the corner for our leader, Gresham Wagner. It was a good save, but he had to just moderate the throttle a little bit. And, of course, it's all uphill from there to the keyhole, cost of momentum and places. Carter back ahead of Drake Kempner now. We're going to have to call the Carter Racing Enterprises machine the yo-yo car this weekend. It's been up and down plenty of times. Now back up into sixth position. Good run by the two JTR cars. And looking further back down there, Luca Mars. So we've got JTR, JTR, Spark, Team Guatemala, Copeland, Provision, Carter Racing Enterprises. Another Copeland car in Dan Williams in 8th position. McCombie McAleer, Sam Paley. Remember, Sam Paley was leading this motor race when he lost all those positions and he hasn't been able to pull back. He's still sitting in 9th position and he's 4th in the championship and came in here leading the rookie points. I reckon how it stands at the moment. Nunes will be going back to the head of that. And Aaron Johnson and the 24 car finally... That Provision car has given up the ghost and he's not got it back to the end of the lap. That's at the exit of turn 11. He's off to driver's left and with 17 minutes to go, if he can't get that car moved, that may well be another outing for the MX-5 safety car.
I'm afraid you're right on that, John.
Oh, and again, Wagner.
Another issue.
Wagner again going down the hill to turn 5. He got up ahead of Hernandez and in back into third position and the full course yellow's just come out. So that's dropped him back to fourth, but with the safety car again, that position is safe. And of course, as soon as the safety car comes out, Johnson has got moving again and he's only got a couple of hundred yards to get into the pits. That's frustrating. Oh, he hasn't got into the pits. Oh, I don't think that's going to play very well. He's done a...
That car needs to be black flagged, John. There's body work hanging off of it that he could scatter across the track.
Agreed.
That's not safe.
Yeah, I think that'll be the meatball flag. The black flag with the orange disc on it. Should get a wave by here past the safety car or the pace car as it is. And lots of pieces of the Mazda and
Shea,
you were spot on. He's just thrown off the part, what was left of the front valance, part of the left front fender liner. It's off the racing line at the keyhole. He has been waved by. There's nothing much more to fall off it now, to be honest. But that it did stop in a dangerous place. A bit surprised he didn't bring that car into the pit lane when he got it going. He's already laps down. In fairness, actually, he's made up a position since we last spoke about him because, of course, the Alex Bachura car has not come back out again. So those extra laps that he did have taken Johnson ahead of the number 33 Slipstream performance car, but I don't think he gets any further unless there's more carnage than 21st position. Well, just under 15 minutes to go then. We're going to have to do some very quick arithmetic at the end of this because both the rookie and the main championship has been impacted, pun intended in that case, by the incident earlier on. Fantastic day to be watching motor racing. Thanks to you all for turning out on the hillside, on the far side of the track, with the lawn chairs, with the coolers, listening in to our Idemitsu Mazda MX-5 Cup call here from IMSA Radio and IMSA TV. Great way to finish off the morning. What is it? Just 15 after noon. And we've still got about 14 minutes to run. Good crowd here this Sunday. And good to see the families are out as well. The next generation of IMSA supporters here with us at Mid-Ohio Sports Car Course. Always one of my favourite places to come. Real fantastic family atmosphere in this area of the world. Hospitality always outstanding, Shay.
John, I believe two of our favorite family members are out around the track. Hi to Liam and Mila.
Ah, right. Okay. That is Brian and Jamie Sellers' family. Good to know that next generation of IMSA fans are here. Into the pits, by the way, in all of this has come the Slipstream number 36. That's the David Staub trophy, the man from Trophy Club Texas, in. Yeah. I think I called him Dominic earlier on. My apologies, David. It was too much excitement for me. The light blue Mazda, the Liqui Moly sponsorship has taken some attention from the Slipstream Performance crew and is back out, so he's dropped down to 20th position.
He's a reconstructing lawyer with Haynes and Boone, David Staub out of Texas, as you rightly say. Spends a lot of time on iRacing, and that's how he learns most of these racetracks before we actually get an opportunity to go to them. So he's been improving steadily over the course of the season. I'm sorry to see his race needing a little trip to the pit lane, but hopefully he can battle his way back up.
And the IMSA iRacing Pro Series concluded a couple of weeks ago with some of the WeatherTech drivers in that, and a Mazda MX-5, a mainstay of iRacing. They've got a great offer on at the moment to sign up for a year. Into the pits for Aaron Johnson. I think that's the smart thing to do. I'm not sure he's going to make up any further positions. We're going green this time around. Give me an opportunity to say thank you very much to Roger Vincent with his fingers on the button at Charlotte, North Carolina at NASCAR Productions, so that we can see all around the track. Jared Thomas will bring us back to green with just over 11 and a half minutes to go. Good restart out to turn 13. Chris Nunes, JTR Motorsport Engineering teammate behind him, into turn one under the bridge. That's very committed on the restart. A great restart from Gresham Wagner in fourth position, up behind the white with blue stripe number 59 of Juan Hernandez, the Team Guatemala racing car. And Wagner pulls out immediately to go down the inside into the keyhole for a moment again. There's three across the track. Hernandez goes a little bit wide. That's let Luke Amars in as well there. Wagner into third. Hernandez stays in fourth. Luke Amars in fifth. He's getting a double tour from the Slipstream. Goes to driver's left. He's going to try and go around the outside, the left-hand side into turn four, but that will put him on the inside if he can tough it out there. That's a heck of a manoeuvre by Luke Amars in the bright orange, white and black car. Behind them, it's side-by-side there as well with another gaggle of cars. Mars has gone through into fourth position, and Sam Paley coming back through the field there as well in the black number 28. He currently is in sixth position. Check that, mate, that's seventh position. But that's been a very good restart by Sam as he's battling with the number 38 of Dan Williams.
He's been knocking on the door of the podium the last couple of races. Both of the results in St. Pete were inside the top five. He's another one of those youngsters going for the rookie championship, and he's only 60 points behind Chris Nunes coming into this race. Well, given Paley's current position, Nunes' current position, and Mars' current position, it's going to get a lot tighter at the top of the points.
It certainly is. Also on the comeback drive there, I noticed Michael Carter, who restarted in, I think, somewhere outside the top 10, but he's fighting his way back at the moment. Under 10 minutes to go. Here's the dive for second from Gresham Wagner, but that was covered off very early by Chris Nunes. Chris in the number 32 car then in second place at the moment. Second, third, fourth and fifth pretty much together, but a slight gap opening up now. Jared Thomas just beginning to stretch away. Maybe a couple or three MX5's lengths down towards turn four. Pick your breaking point. Coming from a long way back, Gresham Wagner tries to get the cut back. Dan Williams in the 38. That's the yellow, black and grey car with Sam Paley, Justin Piscitel as well in there with the yellow wheels on that blue car. He's down the inside of Drake Kemper. That's the blue, similar coloured blue car, but with the yellow rollover hoop on it. And then behind that is Michael Carter. So Carter coming back, he's back up in the 10th position and looking for championship points here. Remember, he was the points leader before this race started, had some 120 point advantage over Gresham Wagner, who's in third position at the moment and looking to improve. Bit of a gap now between the first five and the chasing pack, but with 8 minutes left here, anything could yet happen.
Yeah, but Chris Nunes playing tail gunner for his teammate, Jared Thomas. The JTR engineering car is working very well together to try and keep Gresham Wagner a little bit further back as Paley looks to the inside of Daniel Williams going into turn one. He's going to have to go the long way around and make it stick through the keyhole, but he's invited Justin Piscitel to come play too.
Through the middle for Piscitel, and he makes up a position. Dan Williams stays in his spot of sixth, but everybody behind him is trading position. I think if I was Dan Williams, I might just take the rear view mirror off and throw it away. In fact, his right-hand door mirror is bent in, so maybe he can't see that. It might be just as well. Battle for the lead between the two JTR cars. Now, will Nunes dodge out to the right-hand side? Try the outbreaker manoeuvre. No, he doesn't. But Williams again is defending. Piscitel this time the long way around into turn number four with those yellow wheels on that number 89 car. I tell you what, Williams is driving immaculately. Not really too defensively, certainly not blocking at the moment. He hasn't got the optimum racing line, so we've got a queue of probably five or six cars behind him. In there, Sam Paley, Michael Carter and Celine Roland are line astern, somewhat four, fifth and sixth in that queue. But that, of course, puts them in 10th, 11th and I think 12th position. As they're fighting back, it's been a good drive back by Celine Roland and by Michael Carter. Sam Paley right in there as well. But they're just a wee bit further back than the leaders. New fastest lap of the race by Hernan Palermo. Remember, he had to do the drive-through for the touch on Jensen Altman that took him out. Sits in 14th at the moment and he's trying to get on the back of that second big queue of cars. Leaders at the keyhole, 6 minutes to go. Shea Adam.
There was a report of debris in turn nine as Hernandez goes off the track at the exit of the keyhole. The lead pack picked it up. I'm not sure which of the cars did manage to hit it, but by the time we got a camera shot of it, of the second pack, the debris was already moved off of the racing line. So one of those front four cars has hit something that was a little bit not pleasant.
Piscitel down the inside into turn number four, and this time he gets past Williams. Daniel Williams loses a spot. That position sixth now belonging to Justin Piscitel for McCombie McAleer Racing. He's got 5.5 minutes to try and bridge the gap. Here comes Sam Paley in seventh, and he's dragging Michael Carter and Celine Roland with them. They're all championship contenders, those three. 28, 08 and 87 in ninth, 10th and 11th position. But at the front of the field, Chris Nairn's doing a great job hanging on to his teammate. That little mistake by Juan Hernandez, my goodness, that's cost him very dearly indeed. He's dropped a good 4 or 5 car lengths behind Luca Mars. So JTR first and second, Spark Performance, Copeland, then at a little gap, round about 7/8 tenths of a second, Team Guatemala Racing. Then Justin Piscitel is a second and a half further back, but you wouldn't bet on Piscitel bridging that gap. He's just flung the car through turn one. Absolutely brilliant flat four-wheel drift. Behind him, Dan Williams still defending. This time it's Sam Paley who's trying to go around the outside at the keyhole. Then Michael Carter. Then it is Drake Kemper in there, isn't it? With the yellow rollover hoop. And behind him, Celine Roland. A great battle then for 7th, 8th, 9th, 10th, 11th on down. Moise Uretsky not too far away from the back of that battle either. As Hixon, the Hixon Motorsport car, tries to go around the outside at turn 4. That's the jigsaw coloured car with the light blue car. Spin for Dan, and he's coming across the track. This could be very dangerous indeed. Well, he got on the brakes and held the car. Super bit of driving after he'd made the mistake. Now, did he get a touch there, or was he just a bit over-enthusiastic with the accelerator pedal? He restarts the car, goes down through the sequential box. Still drivers coming through who will have to avoid him.
Big slight touch from Sam Paley, John, but I don't think it was necessarily enough to turn him around. It was just the fact that the car was unsettled at that point in the racetrack.
Well, I'm sure that race control will be having a look at it. No, he's gone on his own. Clear daylight between Paley and the 38. If we'd been on iRacing, I might have said that was net code. Paley actually swerved to avoid him in turn number 4. There was a little kiss before that which pushed him offline, and that was enough. Good spot, shit. Actually, when it started to spin, there was daylight between them, but there was a little bump pretty much square on at the back. Race control will look at that. JTR, two teammates together. 8 wheels of JTR Mazda heading down towards turn 4. Absolutely nothing in it. Still Wagner in third position. And Luca Mars is hanging on in there in fourth. 2.5 minutes to go. Good job by Juan Hernandez for Team Guatemala after that little dusty moment that must have dirtied up his BF Goodrich tyres a couple of 3 laps ago. He's back onto the back of Luca Mars, who's about 2 car lengths away from the top 3 who have nothing between them. Wagner looks like he's got a very good car underneath him, and what makes me say that, Shea, is it looks like he can move around more and pick his entry and exit to all the corners without compromising his pace, as if he's saved a little performance in his BF Goodrich tyres.
Completely agree with you on that, John. The biggest problem for him is that Chris Nunes is going to do everything he can to keep Gresham Wagner behind him, not for his own selfish reasons, but to try and ensure that his JTR teammate can come away with a win. And a double podium for these two would be massive. Chris Nunes got his first trophy at St. Petersburg, and he liked having a trophy and a hat from Mazda. He's looking for another one.
Yeah, and it'll be a very important rookie points as well for Chris Nunes as it stands. Ooh. At the moment into the carousel. A minute and 17, so into the keyhole, excuse me, minute and 17 seconds left as they head down the hill one more time. And Shea Adam has news from race control.
It is a penalty for Sam Paley. Yeah. Incident responsibility with Daniel Williams. Drive through down the pit lane, and the white flag will be shown this time around.
I think, you know, that's bad news for Paley. Fourth in the overall championship coming into this race, leading the rookie points. But that's absolutely consistent with what we saw earlier on for Hernan Palermo, and that's what the drivers want. They want quick decisions, as quick as reasonably possible from race control, and they want consistency. Now the two JTR cars with one lap to go as they come through this time. Now, does that mean that the uneasy truce is gone and it's every JTR driver for themselves? Or will they try and lock up first and second? Wagner in third, then Mars still in that orange, white, black and grey car. I'm really impressed with Juan Hernandez. He's running as high as he has ever done. This will be the best result for the Team Guatemala car this season by some margin. The top five then, for the last time, start to climb the hill to the keyhole. It's Justin Piscitel who leads the second set of cars. Sam Pearley has not gone into the pit lane, so he'll get assessed a time penalty as Hernandez tries to go around the long way on the high side and gets ushered gently off onto the grass out of the keyhole. But it's all right, the windscreen wipers were going. That gives him 5 miles an hour quicker. I'm only kidding, of course. He has to drop in behind Luca Mars one more time. And at the front, the two JTR cars. Ooh, leader moving around a little bit in the braking zone. Jared Thomas knows this is the last lap. He's been scrupulously fair to this point, but he's not going to give this potential win up without a fight. The quintet now through turn six, starting to head through the S's over the brow at seven towards eight. They pop over the top of that hill, a little bit wide from the leader. Is he starting to lose grip? Has he used all of the performance potential of those BF Goodrich tyres? Wagner in third. Good points for Wagner after he dropped way down out of the top 10 earlier on. And his championship rivals are all behind him. But for round number eight, this is going to be a brilliant piece of redemption. Potentially not racing from zero to hero in the space of one Idemitsu Mazda MX-5 Cup weekend. It's a win for Jared Thomas and the JTR Motorsport Engineering number 96 car, and I think it's fair to say supported by Copeland, because that is their car with their colour scheme on it. But brilliant stuff from everybody concerned in that effort, and a top step of the podium for Thomas. His teammate Chris Nunes comes through in seven. It is Wagner in third from Mars and Fernandez. Justin Piscitel takes six. Michael Carter recovering to seventh. Important points there. Sam Pearley's got a penalty to be added on to his eighth position finish because he did not do the drive-through for incident responsibility. Ninth for Celine Roland, who'd also led the race for Hixon. And again, Celine gets the big result on round one of the weekend but can't back it up in the second race. Drake Kemper makes up the top 10. That was entertainment. That was Mazda MX-5 racing. Shea Adam.
And John, before I do the overall championship arithmetic, because that's going to take a little while longer for my non-math brain, the rookie championship by Pearley not serving that, by Pearley getting that penalty in effect, he would have been tied on points for the rookie championship lead with Chris Nunes, who got that second place finish. I believe he will drop down to 20 points behind Nunes. And Luca Mars, what a day. He stays in third position, but now he's only 90 points off the championship lead. He's right there in the thick of things.
And now I've taken a breath or two. My voice is back down to levels that humans can hear rather than bats, dolphins, and other critters. Extraordinary stuff. What a weekend of lows and highs for Jared Thomas. The margin of victory, 0.158 of a second. The top four cars within three quarters of a second. Top three on the podium within half a second. Absolutely superb stuff. What a great drive as well for Chris Nunes. That's his best finish of the season as well, Shea, isn't it? As season best finishes for Luca Mars and Juan Hernandez as well. And I think possibly Justin Piscitel, he had a fifth earlier on.
He was third yesterday.
Third, of course he was yesterday. Yeah, my apologies. Yeah. But there's a lot of happy people there who've got good finishes and have really kick-started their season here.
Yep, and I've got some numbers for you. I did.
Unofficial. Here's the master points.
Very unofficial. Michael Carter still leads the championship on 2,440 points ahead of Gresham Wagner, who closed the gap 2,380 points. So that means it's 60 points first to second. Celine Roland, this is unofficial because he scored in eighth right now. And yes, Paley has been moved back. So that means that he will have 2,190 points. So he is now almost 200 points behind Gresham Wagner for second place.
Wow. But that has all got a wee bit tighter at the top. And confirmation, we think, albeit unofficial, unofficial confirmation, if you can have such a thing, that Chris Nunes has taken over the lead from Sam Paley in the rookie championship. And I'm just wondering how close Luca Mars has got as well, actually, to moving up into second.
Luca Mars is 90 points off of Nunes, and he is 70 points off of Paley. But more importantly for Nunes, he is now fourth in the overall championship as well with that good finish. He is on 1,960 points.
Let's have a word with our winner, Jared Thomas. Jared, what can I say about this weekend? First of all, let's talk about the race. What an amazing race for us to watch. What was it like from where you were?
It was crazy. You know, the car, we set up to go the long run. So with all these cautions, it really messed with our tire pressure. So the cars weren't great. And I assume that was the way for everybody. But after the race yesterday and I was able to run down the lead pack, I told my guys, I said, we got a car that can definitely contend today. And it worked out, got a great start. And once we got out in the lead, I've got a lot of laps here, so I know how to manage. And thanks to my teammate, Chris Nunes, behind me, keeping a buffer between Wagner and I. So it was great. I can't thank all my guys enough. The JTR team, they worked super hard to get my backup car ready to go. I want to thank Peter Atwater for allowing me to use this car this weekend. It was very nice for him. I'm glad I could bring home a win for him. And just hats off to all the guys on the team. They worked their butts off this weekend, so I'm so excited.
I mean, it could have been such an awful weekend for you, Jared, because it was nearly a weekend where you couldn't compete at all. And you mentioned the guys at Copeland. Just great camaraderie in the Idemitsu Mazda MX-5 paddock.
Yeah, it's kind of a big family here. And, I wouldn't want to be racing anyplace else besides in a Mazda. And everybody in the paddock's great. So hats off to them as well.
And will you be able to get your primary car sorted out in the gap between this and the next round?
Definitely, yeah. We're already have plans in place to get it fixed. So it's going to be going off next week to get fixed, and I can't wait to get back in my primary car. That thing is so quick. We've just had a ton of bad luck, Sebring and St. Pete with everything. So this is huge to get back on top, and it's been a while since Daytona, so I'm super excited to be back here.
And how do you feel about the next one then? The Road America race. It's a long way away.
It's I feel really good. We ran there strong last year, and I think our setup has only gotten better, and then my teammates, I think we're going to have something strong for Road America when we get there in August.
Well, congratulations to you and the team. Fantastic victory. Jared Thomas, JTR Motorsport Engineering, winner of round 8 of the Idemitsu Mazda MX-5 Cup. Well done, mate.
Thanks.
Oh, brilliant stuff. The Hard Charger Award goes to Luca Mars for making it up to 4th position. And that wraps up a brilliant weekend of action here at the Mid-Ohio Sports Car Course. Couple of interventions in round 8 by the safety car. Championship contenders having to battle their way back. And a maiden victory in 2021 for Jared Thomas. See you at the next one. Bye-bye.
This program is a Radio Show Limited production. For more, check imsaradio.com and subscribe to IMSA Radio wherever you get your podcasts.